exciting.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I gotta figure out how I do this here this morning, you know, because I hear people all the time watch some of those Christian shows. People say, I have an unspoken prayer request. Well, I mean, I don't even know what that means. How do you get behind an unspoken prayer request? That's a whole nother story. Not making fun of anybody. Maybe it'd be an unspoken one because you don't want to really maybe embarrass somebody or whatever. But
hard to agree something you wouldn't know of.
That's right?
Right.
It's hard to agree with something you don't really know about. That's right. So listen. This is I'm probably going to get in trouble for this one, but I'm gonna. This is not going to be an unspoken prayer request. I'm looking out my window over there. Yeah, I got a window in my studio over there. And see, I'm not going to say this because I don't want to get in trouble with my family. I don't want to get in trouble with my family. But I think this is still to be confirmed, but I think we're working on a triple header here in my family. Anybody know what that means? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? A triple header?
I got three.
We have three children. I think we're working on a triple header. Be praying for us out there, if you will. Don't say anything, because I don't want to get in trouble with my wife or my two daughters or my son. Don't say anything, but you can pray an unspoken prayer request. I think we're working on a triple header here. Isn't that unbelievable? Oh my God. Oh man, good to be here. Got a lot going on. Appreciate all of you being there. We had a great weekend. John Diamond, I got so much I want to talk about today. Help me to Rochelle. You look good in front of your background there, in front of your little ocean. Make me want to be on the beach. Seaver City. Is that the name of it? Knoxville, Tennessee. All weekend, not all weekend, but Friday and Saturday. John Diamond and I rode down together. I just got a lot to share with you. Spent quite a bit of time with Dr. Alan Keyes. I don't know if you guys even know. Lord, direct me here this morning, will you? Folks, there's something really, really, really big going on, and I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, there is something really, really big. Let me explain something to you here. Nothing new under the sun, right? Everything goes in circles and in cycles. We all know that. To everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. It's cycle. We're in a cycle. And, you know, a lot of you guys maybe are more biblically literate than I am regarding that thing, regarding cycles and biblical cycles and seven-year cycles and 20-year cycles. And some of you are probably more up to date on those. I'm in the midst of a cycle, and I'm going to explain that to you here in a second. Spencer's throwing up on the Lord. Just let me be. Keep me focused here a second, if you will, Lord, because I didn't want to get onto all this stuff up on the schedule because it's important. But I was down in John and I were down. We were in Knoxville, Tennessee, for Dr. Alan Keyes. See if you can pull that up there. It's called IMTV.us. IMTV. And I don't know if you guys know Dr. Alan Keyes or not, or know of him or remember him. He was a true conservative warrior. In fact, he was a UN ambassador under H. Bush, I think. But I've known Alan, and I consider Alan to be a friend since 2000 and I want to say 3, although John or somebody could correct me, when I met Dr. Alan Keyes in Montgomery, Alabama, when we were fighting with Judge Roy Moore. I don't know if John's in there. Was it 2003, John? Doesn't matter. I met Dr. Keyes there. I also met Dr. Alan Keyes. I'm sorry. I also met down in Montgomery, Alabama, Flip Benham. It's the first time I'd ever met Flip. At the same time, when you guys remember when they were taking the Ten Commandments out of Judge Roy Moore's office, that was 2000. Maybe you can check that, Spencer. I don't know. I think it's 2003. Doesn't matter. It's a while ago. I met Flip Benham there. I met John Diamond down in Montgomery, Alabama. I met Dr. Scott Lively down in Montgomery, Alabama. And Rusty Thomas, I met in Montgomery, Alabama. See, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, things go in cycles and circles. They go in cycles. And I was in Tennessee this weekend, and who did I run into? But I ran into John Diamond, Alan Keyes, Scott Lively. Something happening, folks. I've been doing this Christianity thing, this whatever it is I do, I've been doing it for about 18 years. And all of a sudden, the Lord helped me to see that there's nothing new under the sun. And to everything, there's a season, and things are recycling again. And one of the things that's recycling is our friend, Pastor Tony Spell. You guys remember a month or so ago, we had Pastor Tony Spell from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on with us. And Pastor Tony Spell is now going to be standing trial in New Orleans, Louisiana on June 6th and 7th. Maybe it's 7th and 8th, Monday, Tuesday, whatever that is on your calendar. And I'm going back. I'm going to go back because it's a replay, friends. We're looking at a replay of what happened with Judge Roy Moore back in 2003. In fact, Judge Roy Moore is Pastor Tony Spell's attorney. How ironic is that? My wife and I booked our flights yesterday for for New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm going to call some of the others to try to get down there as well. Spencer, look at the calendar. So somebody out there, look at the calendar. What's Monday? Is it June 7th? I think Monday's the 7th.
Monday the 7th.
7th and 8th. Thanks, Dale. And I believe we're going to see a replay of what took place in Montgomery, Alabama with Judge Roy Moore back in 2003, I think it was. I think the Lord's calling the forces back down there again, where Tony Spell is going to stand before federal court for his God-given right to be able to have his church open, the lie of the separation of church and state, all of that stuff going on. So I'm just putting out a call for those of you who are going to be able to be down there on the 7th and 8th of if you can even only come one day, somebody maybe a day's drive away. I believe we're going to see a regathering of I don't know what to call it, church, whatever, down there at that time. And I was amazed this weekend that I was back connected again, elbow to elbow with Scott Lively and Alan Keyes and John Diamond. And something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And I want to encourage all of you. I want to encourage you all that we are in the midst, my friends, of a huge, huge, we're right in the middle of it. Hey, Randy, we're already at war. The war has already begun. Friends, did you see what they did to Pastor Art Pavlovsky in Canada? You say, well, that's across the border. Yeah, it's across the border. And it's coming here. Do you have that video? Can you pull that up there real quick? Did I give that to you this morning? I did. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Hang on a minute now. You know who Pastor Art is? He's the one who ran the police out of his church twice, right? And so on the way home from church the other day, they didn't wait outside his church and arrest him. Oh, no, 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 no. They waited till he got on the highway. They pulled him over like a common drug dealer and arrested he and his brother, I believe it is. And just watch this, folks. It's coming to America, on the land and on the sea, whatever. It's coming to America. We better wake up. Better wake up. We better get our army fortified. Go ahead and play this real quick. Arrested him out in the middle of the street. Common criminal. want you to look how many police cars there are here arresting him.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Art Poloski. If you're watching this video, that means they have successfully arrested me and I am in jail. If you would like to support me, if you would like to support Rebel News and the legal team that is trying their best to get me out of this trouble, please go to safearthur.com.
Look at the cops.
Please help.
Look how many cops there are.
Help my family, help my wife and my children to get me out of this horrible, illegal situation. Please go to safearthur.com and get me out of this if you can.
Hey everyone, this is an emergency update, a critical update. We've just received confirmation that after leaving worship today, Pastor Archer Poloski was pulled over on his way home and arrested.
So I have advised both you and Mr. Poloski over there that you guys are both under arrest. Please, if you would, step on the vehicle.
A pastor in Alberta for the second time has been arrested simply for preaching. This is absolutely unbelievable that this is taking place in Alberta and taking place in Calgary in this day and age. This is the stuff you see in communist China. Now it's happened twice in Alberta.
Okay, you can drop that off there, Spencer. You guys, you get it, right? You get it. Pastor Tony Spell, they're doing the same thing to Pastor Tony Spell, although it hasn't been maybe as blatant as an arrest like this. I don't know. I think I counted there were like 23, 24 police officers, six or seven different vehicles that were there. Just this guy, what did he do? And so the same thing's happening with Pastor Tony Spell, June 7th and 8th. He's going to be on trial in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we just happen to have a good friend, Dale Socha, is in Louisiana. And Dale, you guys down there working to come alongside and organize, for lack of a better term, I don't want to use the term protests, but we're going to organize Christians to be outside that courtroom. Is that right, Dale?
Yes, sir. It's not a protest. It is a proclamation. We are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it has nothing, brother, I shared this yesterday at church. This has nothing to do even with our so-called constitutional right. These are our biblical mandates. These are our charges from the Lord. And so, brother, his case had gone to the Supreme Court. I didn't know that. His case went to the Supreme Court, and they kicked it down. So this is not just a regular court. This is the Fifth Circuit Appeals Federal Court in New Orleans. Hopefully it'll track back up to the Supreme Court. Also, the name that you forgot, I know you were just brain fogging there. It was Chief Justice Roy Moore that you saw in Tennessee, too, this weekend.
Yes, sir. That's right. It's unbelievable. The convergence, the reconvergence, the reassembling. I get goosebumps, Dale, when I start talking about it. Folks, you understand. Well, hang on real quickly. Stay with me a second. Go down, Spencer. Oh, I don't know if I can do this or not.
Here, let me throw this out.
Go to my Facebook page real quick, Spencer. Go to my Facebook page.
There's another video out there of Pastor Art.
Yes.
His congregation, actually, they came to arrest him in the morning service, and the people wouldn't let him in the church. So, brother, I pray that my people are like that the day they come for me, is that the people stood up and would not let the police come into the church. That's why they followed them home.
They're coming to America. Come on in, Larry, while I get Spencer. Hang on, Larry. Go to the very top, Spencer. Go to the very top of my very top. Right there.
I just want to say y'all need one of those Freedom in Christ rallies down there in New Orleans.
Well, that's what we did when the whole Judge Roy Moore controversy went on for a long
Freedom
time.
Freedom in Christ rally.
And we're trying to do that again, folks. June 7 and 8. Okay, now look. Knuckleheads. You guys remember Knuckleheads, the ice cream place here in Granville, where you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So look at this. May 7th. What is that? That would have been on Friday, I think. May 7th. Look at this. Written warning of noncompliance with village ordinance 14-2020, number one. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Warner, these are the knuckleheads. Purpose of this letter is to address continued complaints. They want to address continued complaints. Folks, they want to address continued citizen complaints. Do you understand this? You understand what's going on here? You understand that they're turning citizen against citizen? Do you understand that? Okay, do you understand that? Purpose of this letter is to address continued complaints regarding your business, allegedly non-compliance with village ordinance, yada, yada, yada. The complaints allege that your employees do not wear facial coverings in the course of doing business with your customers. Further, social media posts by Mrs. Warner, God bless her, related to this business imply that the use of facial coverings by employees is not required. Well, exemptions for employees are allowed. Oh, God bless you. Thank you there, Herb Kohler. Our ordinance does require that proprietors and employees provide written justification upon request by the village manager. Oh, yeah? Now you have to give the village manager reason why your employees aren't wearing masks, really? As to why an employee isn't exempt from wearing a facial covering. On May 4th, I requested such written exemption justification for all your employees as permitted by the ordinance for the deadline of today, mate. And you didn't do it. As of this writing, you still haven't come and bowed to my knee and told me what I need. What, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Mr. Kohler. I'm so sorry that my oh boy. Therefore, I'm issuing this written warning. Anybody feel like you're in school and you're getting detention? Anybody feel like that? To notify that you are currently considered non-compliant. I'm formally requesting again that you provide written exemption justification for all your current employees, not later than this time on Thursday. Be advised that after two written warnings of non-compliance, a formal citation and a $150 fine will be required by the ordinance. Hey, folks, how far are they away from the cops circling their business and knocking on their door, do you think? How far? It's coming to America, on the land and on the sea, whatever. They're coming to America. Go on in, Jack. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I don't care if it is Monday. I'm not done yet. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, so the question is, in the first sentence, who is continuing to complain? See, years ago, we allowed this anonymous reporting to go on. See, we're in trouble because we allowed that to go on because it seemed like a good idea. But now, because we don't enforce in the presence of two witnesses, we can't even find out who those continued complaints are coming from, because we disobeyed the law.
Jack, I know you know this. Friends, it's not a law. City ordinance cannot force you to wear a mask. Do you understand this? Folks, tell me we understand this. Please tell me you understand it. If anybody in Knuckleheads in Granville, Ohio says, listen, I don't want to wear a mask. It's against my freedom of speech. It's against my freedom of conscience. It's against my right to exercise my freedom of religion. It's nobody's, folks, you understand this? It's nobody's business. And even though more and more people are complaining, it ain't nobody's business. Do you think Jake and Sabrina are on the verge of arrest? Anybody think that maybe by the end of the week, their little knucklehead is going to be surrounded by cops? Guys carrying guns? You're under arrest. You violated ordinance number. What is it? $150. Come on in, Alan and Brett.
Hey, Coach Alan Keyes, man. I tell you what, he's a prophet. If you go back,
well, brother, I'm telling you, man,
he is. He's a prophet, brother. If you go back and watch him and Obama's debate in 2003, everything Alan Keyes said Barack Hussein Obama was going to pull has already been pulled on the American public right now. Everything.
Amen.
Everything. Teaching your kids homosex when they're in pre-K. Yep. Alan Keyes addressed all this in 2003, and Obama sat there, if you watch it on YouTube, with a big grin on his face. And brother, here we are.
And I'm not dropping names. I'm not dropping names. I'm just telling you. Alan Keyes is a buddy of mine. I hadn't seen him in I don't know how long. He gave me the biggest embrace, Coach. And I mean, folks. This is a warrior fighting in obscurity. He gave the most unbelievable talk on Saturday I'm gonna have it posted on our website. It's unbelievable, folks. He's one of us. Okay, he's one of us. Go ahead, Brett, and then Reggie. Can't hear you, Brett. There you go. I can hear you now. Go ahead. Go ahead, Reggie. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach. We went down, Mel and our spouses, we went down. We drove about an hour and a half to go support Sabrina on Friday. And they're amazing people there. And they're very pro-veterans, pro-military as well. And so I saw the post where the grocery store over there was attacking Sabrina and them as well. They're coming down hard on her because she stands for truth. And I'm going to say this. I said we have to call out this, I forget his name, he's a council guy, for what he is. And people don't like when I say it, but he's part of the brotherhood.
Well,
and
Reggie, here's what's going on, Reggie. There's some people showed up at Knuckleheads on where I understand it this weekend, who then went and paraded through the neighborhood IGA, which are the neighborhood not IGA are very, 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 very strong mask folks. And so some people went in and paraded through their place without masks. And of course, they're blaming Knuckleheads as if, that's what's going on there. Okay.
Hey, I'm back, Coach.
Okay, Brad.
Sorry I didn't have my mic on. First of all, Reggie, I agree. Knuckleheads is great. I've been there twice. Sabrina's amazing. Hey, inner city America. Ever heard of Alan Keyes? Why isn't his name ringing out in the hood of inner city America? Yeah. And then the third thing I want to say is they're trying to sneak it in quietly over the last weekend and so. But I don't even check the evil news feeds, but I did see over 100 colleges are declaring that before the students or student athletes come back to college next fall, you already know, mandatory, they're forcing them to get these shots. Well, that ain't happening, folks. It's going to be proclamation riots across campuses in America. And the first ones that need to be called, no offense, hey, Uncle Nick Saban, why aren't you standing up for your team? Hey, Dabo Sweeney, why aren't you hanging? Because we know the politicians ain't. The football guys and the coach is going to have to take it back.
Amen, baby. I'm with you. Oh, I got so much I want to get out of me today. Come on in here, Glenn, then Dale, then Craig.
Yeah, I saw that conference, the streaming. And thank you, Clay Parker, for sending that out. Coach, I you know, for a long time I thought you were the lone wolf out there, but now I'm seeing that there are other men,
Glenn,
other people.
It's coming together, brother. I'm telling you, it's coming together. Keep going,
you know,
buddy.
You know what, Pastor Hedin, there were some things I didn't know about Iran until he explained what happened with the Shah. It was like America over there. They weren't wearing those black outfits. You know, it was like the United States when he was the president over there.
They
had a coup d'etat. I didn't know that.
Folks, listen to me. I don't take this wrong. I don't want this to sound wrong. And John Diamond and I were kind of laughing at each other as we were driving home, although we weren't laughing. The troops are awakening. Folks, listen. John and I have been doing this for 15 years, at least 15 years. We've been warning people for 15 years. And we go down to Knoxville, Tennessee, and what do we hear? They're saying what we've been saying for 15 years. There's something good going on, friends. There's something good going on. People are beginning to understand and to get it. Come on in, Craig.
Hey, Coach, I was just putting in the chat. The U.S. Supreme Court is hearing a case up in Maine at Calvary Chapel, whether they're going to take the case on and allow the governor to have the ability to shut down the church during the COVID. So I'm just putting a few things in the chat if you want to look at it.
Thanks, Craig. Let me ask you something, folks. What do we do if the Supreme Court says they can shut down churches? What are we going to do if the Supreme Court says they can shut down churches?
We riot. We got to quit. This is insanity. A-plus rating, Coach. 98% of the people even survive. When are we going to wake up?
Okay, so I just got to do this, okay? I'm not here to win friends and influence people. I'm here to influence people. I'm not here to win friends. I hope you like him. I don't care. Okay. I don't care. And I'm just going to tell you something. Some of you have been lied to in your churches. Some of you have been lied to in your churches. Hey, Brett, I'm going to say it real again. I'm going to say it real slow in English. Most of you have been lied to in your churches.
Amen.
Most of you today are continuing to be lied to in your churches. Pastor Arter, even though he's not an American, he's not a lawbreaker, folks. And if you're in a church that's calling him a lawbreaker, you better run for your life. You better run for your life. That's the John 10 hireling pastor that's telling you that. That's the guy has no courage, has no skin in the game. Do you remember? He goes, bear with me here a second. See, hey, Spencer, get ready for me. The two scriptures that I got on the next email I just sent you. Can I go? Is it okay, Brett? Can I go here? Mr. Bruner, can I go here? Is it okay if I go here? Can I take a minute and go here? See, folks, listen. The entire gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, are you listening to me? It was about a spiritual invasion. It was Normandy. It was Almighty God's way of invading this natural realm. Jesus showed up. He tore down every tradition of men, every religious edifice. He tore it all down. He says there's a new king. There's a gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is not soon coming. The kingdom is within you. And he said, here's what we're going to do. I've come in here and I am leading an insurrection against the forces of darkness. And that kingdom that is within you, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send another one. And he that was in you or was with you is going to be where, Brett? The one who was with you, where is he going to be, Brett? He's going to be in you. So I'm going to go away and I'm going to lead a spiritual insurrection, American church. I'm going to lead a spiritual insurrection and I'm going to be in every one of my believers and we're going to go in and we're going to invade the forces of darkness and we're going to run them out. And today, the American gospel is about evacuation. We're leaving. They invaded. They took over. We're out of here. Somebody say amen, because I'm hovering
amen.
Like
that. Amen.
Amen. Right over, amen, I'm, Coach. Amen.
I'm right over the top amen. Of it. And you ain't hearing us in your church, see? Huh? No. You're hearing your church. We lost. We'll be out of here soon. Jesus said, occupy till I come. We didn't. And so we think we can quit and go home. We think quitting and going home is going to be a reward. When God said, I am leading an insurrection against evil. Go ye into all the world, he told us. And do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. You go do that. And I'm with you. Why? Because I'm in you. And we're going to go overthrow the forces of darkness. Does anybody think I'm misquoting scripture? Does anybody think I'm taking scripture out of context?
Nope.
No. I'm all over it. Despite what your sissy, tight-jeaned, nearly retired pastor has been telling you. Sitting comfortably in his church, in his pulpit, standing up there, bellowing like an elephant, not doing a damn thing. Not doing a damn thing. Not training anything about the invasion, the gospel invasion. None. I'm going somewhere. Because I got thinking about this today. We're waving a white flag. Stop right now, and I want you to think about this. The Supreme Court of the United States rules that a city government can shut down a church. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Because boys and girls, as I sit here, there are courts all across America that are getting ready to do that. There are judges, unrighteous judges all across America getting ready to do that. I know some of you want to get in here. Hang on a minute. An unrighteous judge is all across America getting ready to do that. Right? And what are we going to do when they do? What are we going to do when they arrest Pastor Dale? What are you guys going to do when they come and arrest me? Is this thing going to fall apart when those black limos pull in my driveway and drag me out of here? Is this fall apart? Y'all go back home, suck your thumb. Well, you know, Coach was out there. He was always out there in front. You know, he probably shouldn't have been talking about something. That's what the pastors will say. Won't they? That's what they'll pray for me. Huh? They'd pray for me as I sit in jail on the rock. Although they'll do that, right? Because see, I'm trying to lead an insurrection against the forces of darkness. And they won't even stand up and block the insurrection of the force by the forces of darkness. They won't even stand up and speak out against it. So here's what I found out. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I read this this weekend and it went right through me. It went right through me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. By the way, I'd love to read all this, but I'm not going to take it. Well, hang on. Listen, I need to know this. I need to say this. Folks, this know also, Paul wrote to Timothy, that in last times, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, holy, unnatural affections, truth, biggest, false, accused, comment. Hey, folks, it's written 2,000 years ago. And this continued insurrection by the forces of darkness on everything that is good is playing right out before us. And I would say that Paul's not talking about end times here. He's talking about the natural condition of the unregenerated heart. He said, this is the nature of men. Folks, this is not, listen to me, this is not an end time scripture. This is a scripture about the condition of the heart of men. Yeah, Joe.
For this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's how it starts off. We are in the last days.
Amen.
And we have to adopt an attitude of how to deal with the insurrections that are going to be coming down through the church.
They're coming already, Joe. They're coming already. Some of them led by men standing in the pulpit, dare I say. Scroll on down. Because I want you to see something. 16. John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. This hit me like a knife through my heart. Are you guys sitting down? Are you sitting down? All scripture. What scripture? All scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I don't see anything about compromise in there. In fact, I don't see anything about love in there. I don't see anything about it. Any of those things that the church promotes today. Tolerance, I don't see it in there. I don't see diversity, I don't see it in there. But listen, I got to tell you something. Are you sitting down? You sitting down? All scripture. Can somebody help me out here? What would Paul be referring to here? Is he referring to the book of Thessalonians? Is he referring to the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter? Is he referring to James, book of James? Is he referring to the book of Revelation? Is he referring to Colossians or Philippians? No, he says all scripture. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about that Old Testament that we want to shy away from. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Hey, folks.
Bingo.
There wasn't any other scripture. Friends, there wasn't any other scripture. The Old Testament. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You sitting down? My wife gave me this morning. That's why I love my wife. Psalm 55. This goes to all those love gospels and those smoke-filled sanctuaries where everybody's dancing and waving flags and giving in to the insurrection. This Old Testament, double nickels, Joe. Go ahead, Silver. Go ahead, double nick. Go ahead, read that double nickel to us, folks. Hey, friends, all scripture. All scripture. What's it for? Go ahead, Joe. Hey, this is the scripture Paul's talking about here. Go ahead.
Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked.
What? Enemies? Wicked? Huh? Go ahead.
For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove.
Oh, if I could just fly away. Fly away. Oh, glory. Fly away. Go ahead.
For then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest.
Lord, if I could just get out of here and just leave all this behind me, it would all be gone. But watch what happens, Joe. Watch what happens next.
Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that
was... Wow! It was an enemy, though, wasn't it, Joe? It didn't look like an enemy, but it was an enemy. Go ahead.
Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company.
Wow, what a picture.
Let death seize upon them.
Upon who, Joe? Upon who?
Them. And let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me.
Amen, there were, brother. There were many with us.
God shall hear and afflict them, even that he abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter.
Oh, yeah, it was.
But war was in his heart.
Yes, sir.
His words were softer than oil, yet they drawn swords.
Yet were they drawn swords. The words were soft, but they were swords.
Yes. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days.
Wow!
But I will trust in thee.
Go back to 2 Timothy. What's 2 Timothy say? What's it say? 16. All scripture. Psalm 55 is given by inspiration of God. And Psalm 55 is profitable for doctrine. And Psalm 55 is for reproof. And Psalm 55 is for correction. And Psalm 55 is for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, through thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, spit that one out, boys and girls. Come on in, Joe Allen.
Coach, we might have a white flag, but it's got a green tree in it, appeal to heaven.
Hey.
We're coming after you, evildoers. We're bringing the raft.
We are, brother.
Amen,
we
Joe.
Are, brother. Hey, I ain't sitting around waiting for no evacuation. Jim Caribou, come on in.
Waiting for talk about all scripture. What do we hear? John 3:16 all day long. Three verses later, just John 3:19 through 21. And this is Jesus. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil.
Amen, brother.
But then he goes on and says, yet you do and you can do a truth. That challenge is never brought up to anybody sitting in a church. We've got to search that out ourselves many times. Ministers are us. Pastors are us. That's our call.
That's right, brother. Amen, Jim. Good word. Darryl, we be getting for truth. Come on in. No? Dale.
Yeah, what a great scripture to follow, because I wanted to circle back around to the Allen Keys. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness. When Allen Keys ran against who? Barack Obama, right? Lost in the Senate, this junior Senate, then becomes the president. Remember, Allen Keys ran for presidency in 2008? Yep. The only time I've ever seen Flip Benham cry was when Allen Keys spoke. Brother, let me tell you what, those who don't know this guy, man, let me tell you what, America had an opportunity to elect a black president, and his name was Allen Keys. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Amen. Amen. Hey, do me a favor real quick, just so you don't think maybe David was drunk hanging out with Bathsheba that day. Go to 56. Go to 56. What's he saying? 56. Psalm 56. Hang on, I'll be get you in there in a second. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppressed me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For there be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust thee. In God will I praise thee. In God will I put my trust. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by sin? In anger, in your anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanted, put thou my tears into your bottle. Are they not in thy book? And when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And if you think his drunken stupor had worn off, go to 57. Be merciful, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. In the shadow of the things will I make my refuge to these until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God, most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that it would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is sharp sword. But you, exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be exalted above all the earth. They have prepped a net for my steps. My soul's bowed down. They have digged a pit for me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, psalter and harp. I myself will awake, girl. I will rise. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, all God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. We are an occupying army. We're an occupying army. Come on in, Jack.
Dan, you're over the target on so many levels. When you know me, I'm not in this to make friends either. It's kind of nice, but it doesn't happen very often. You're talking about, in the chat,
and all this, you're talking about actually taking up arms or storming the courtroom where this stuff is going on. Guess what? I bet you there's not 12 people in this whole thing listening that would defend you, just like they didn't defend Kent Hovind, Schaefer Cox, or any other patriot that actually did anything. So we better get serious about what we're really talking about here, because you won't even argue against, not you, Dave, you won't even argue against stop and frisk. Well, stop and frisk is okay because it helped. And it's okay for having a sobriety check on the road to a checkpoint. So you go through this checkpoint and you stop your car and they do a little fishing expedition in your car. But we didn't do that because that was kind of okay. So we're really still talking about patriots for profit and Christian crooks, because when it comes down to push comes to shove, when you get arrested, there'll be maybe 10 or 12 people there to try to help you. The other 20,000 will be saying exactly what you said. Well, he's out there a little bit and he kind of deserves it. Well, yep, he's a good guy, but you know, come on, people. We're going to have to man up real quick, folks. Really man up.
We got to man up with knuckleheads. We got to man up with Tony Spell. We have to man up with Pastor Arter, because it's coming to a city. It's coming to America. Right? It's coming to America, boys and girls. It's coming. Don't think it isn't.
Hey, Dave.
Don't think it isn't.
One more quick thing, Dave. On Calvary Chapel, I know Ken Graves. We've had this conversation, and this was 10, 12 years ago. He wouldn't take the stand then. Now he's trying to take the stand when all the odds are against him.
That's right.
We got to learn, folks.
I got a quote. It's coming to my head. I'm not going to use it. Hang on real quickly. Dale, if people get to New Orleans, they can sleep on the floor of your church. Is that right, Dale?
Brother, and it's a comfortable floor. I have carpet in there. I put good carpet with good padding. It has bathrooms. It has kitchen. Doesn't have showers, but it's got bathrooms and kitchen, refrigerator, stove, all that stuff. So yeah,
we'll rent a hotel where people can take showers.
Yeah, well, brother, that we'll make all that happen. If that matter of fact, we had that meeting yesterday. You say that there's a hotel, you know, right next door to our church, and one of my elders we met about that. He said, well, look, if they're going to stay for a long time, we'll rent a room over there, and people can just go in and out of there and take their showers.
Hey, folks, is it about evasion or evacuation? Is it about an evasion, an insurrection, or an evacuation? We're going to have to make that decision. We be getting to the fourth truth. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, you're on fire today.
I know I am. That. I'm saying the truth.
You are. And when it comes to Canada, things are a little worse than you think. In Alberta, they've made it illegal to protest through a secret court. And when you are protesting before that, they're taking pictures of all your faces, going through social media, then showing up at your door and finding you. So what they're doing and what they did with Arter is they fine you 3 or 4 times and then they lock you up. And once you try and get bail, they make orders so that if you go and preach again, because it's part of your bail, you're instantly breaking the law. If you don't sign those orders and get out without bail, I don't know if they can lock you up, but they're playing games, man. They're coming.
They are. Okay, so look, I look down, I got 10 minutes, I got 12 minutes left. Okay, listen, let me digress here a little bit. By the way, Ricky Miller's getting better. Ricky Miller's going to be out of the hospital soon, folks. Jeff Klein saved Ricky Miller's life. Don't come in yet, Jeff. Don't come in yet. I'm heading somewhere. I just want you to know this, okay? Now, look, folks, look. It's an invasion, right? We have to do an invasion, not an evacuation. Tomorrow, I'm going to do something a little different tomorrow. Ted Weiland is going to be with us tomorrow. You say, who's Ted Weiland? Well, I like to do a lot of cross-pollinization, right? I like to bring in different ideas and different people. Ted Weiland is a Christian man, got a powerful ministry himself, who says that we're in the mess that we're in because the Constitution violated the precepts of Almighty God. He's going to make a great argument tomorrow, and John Diamond's going to be on with it, and they're going to talk about it back and forth. And I don't want anybody to get their panties in a bunch if somebody says something that you don't agree with. Because what we like to do here is we like to throw things on the table and come let us reason together, and let's see if this, in fact, is valid. By the way, this is really dangerous. That's why I'm going to play what I'm about to play. Ted Weiland is also one of those who believes. Are you ready for this? Oh, right wing watch, you watch him? Ted Weiland believes that God's chosen people are those who went over the Caucasus Mountains. They were the lost tribes of Israel. They went over the Caucasus Mountains and became what we now call Caucasians and took the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Anywhere you stand today where the gospel is preached, if you go back, you will find a Caucasian took it there. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, whoa, coach, that sounds racist. No, it doesn't. It shows how stupid you are. It shows how programmed you are that when somebody brings a new thought and a new idea to you, you say, oh, I got to go talk to my pastor about that. No, don't waste your time.
Coach, Charles Jennings has preached on that.
I know, brother.
And written written pamphlets on that.
That's right. The lost tribes, lost tribes escaped over the Caucasus Mountains. And they became what? They became Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And what did the Anglo-Saxon Protestants do? Why, they took the gospel to all the world. Hey, boys and girls, I don't want to make anybody mad. Have the Jews taken the gospel to all the world? No, they fought against the gospel. Still are. They don't believe the gospel. Who took the gospel to all the world? Okay, so that's why I was coming home. I showed John Diamond and I were in the car 7 hours together, 14, seven down, seven back. And I was trying to tell John to make little videos. And I thought, I got to, John, I played this one. And John says, Coach, you got to play that on the show. So I'm being obedient to John Diamond here. If you go to our website, I got all kinds of little videos like this. I used to make one of these a day and post it, called Coach Dave newswithyous.tv. I posted one of these little short videos every day. Okay? And it helped expand our ministry. There's no other way to say it. This one I did, I titled it, I'm Proud to Be White. Now, as you watch this, I want you to think of two things. Not only are you proud to be white, when's the last time you heard somebody say that? And then not only are you proud to be white, are you proud to be Christian? You could substitute, I'm proud to be white, for I'm proud to be Christian. Because can I tell you something, folks? There's a move in America to make you ashamed of both. Somebody give me a thumbs up. There's a move in America to make you ashamed that you're white and make you ashamed you're Christian. Can't you see what's going on, right? So this video got all kinds of views because the left hated it. And this was made about seven years ago, entitled, it's 5 minutes long, I'm Proud to Be White. Go ahead and play it. Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithyous.tv at newswithyous.com. And I'm going to say something right now that's pretty startling. In fact, there aren't very many people in America that have the courage to say what I'm about to say because of all the slings and arrows and evil things and mean things that are going to be said about me. Well, I've got the courage to say it, and I'm going to say it anyway. Are you ready? I'm proud to be white. I'm proud to be white. See, that makes a lot of you right there, makes a lot of you very, very nervous. And the reason you're so nervous is you don't realize how much we have been programmed in this culture in issues regarding race. Oh, it's nothing at all for a black man to say that he's black and proud of it. It's nothing for a Mexican to say that they're a Chicano and proud of it. What do they call that? La raza, the race. Oh, you're not ashamed to say that you're a homosexual. You're not ashamed to say that you're an atheist. Why is it that people are ashamed to say that they're white. Well, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a proud white man, proud of my European heritage, my European descent. We're in a world of trouble in America, folks. And I want to point something out to you. Again, it's going to make you uncomfortable, probably going to make you nervous, going to make my email inbox fill up with people calling me racist and calling me all kinds of names. I got to stop right there. How can a black guy not be a racist, but a white guy can be a racist? When a black guy talks about how can Jesse Jackson not be a racist when everything's about race? And if I even mention the fact that I'm a proud white man, I'm a racist. I don't buy into that. You can call me names. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to impact me. Here's what we've got to get over. Are you ready for this? Nobody will say this but me, and I'm going to say it to you because I don't care. It is the truth. I don't care what they say about me, friends. Listen, we have got to get beyond white guilt. We've dealt with the issue of slavery in America. We've dealt with it. 600,000 American lives died in the Civil War over the issue of slavery. We have got to get beyond that. That debt has been paid. And I don't know what it does to you, but it does all kinds of stuff to me. When I see they take a guy like George Zimmerman and call him, well, they call him a white Hispanic. Well, I'm going to shock you right now. Barack Obama is a white Negro. How can I say that? Well, they both have one parent that was white. And so they use race to divide us. Now, I want you to think about this. Barack Obama gets 90%, over 90% of the black vote. And nobody calls that racism. But if Coach Dave Dobenmeyer were to run for president of the United States and he were to get 95% of the white vote because he happens to be a white man, why is that all of a sudden racist? Oh, it's a trick they're playing on us, friends. I love to tell people this. There's only two races. Those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And if we begin to look at the demographics across America, we're going to understand a very startling statistic. It won't be much longer than maybe 25, 30 years that white Americans will no longer be the majority in this nation. That's a scary thought. Not scary that white people aren't going to be the majority. But scary that white people, for whatever reason, have stopped producing children. The Christian ethic has disappeared of where we are blessed to have children. Some statistics say that Islam, the Muslims, are having children at a rate of 8 to 1. And Christian white families are barely reproducing. Listen, I am a proud white American of European descent. I'm not ashamed of who I am. And this idea that there's a black Christian and there's a white Christian and there's all kinds of colors. Folks, we have got to get beyond that. And we've got to, again, begin to stand up for our great Judeo-Christian ethic. Germans and Russians and Caucasians all across America should begin once again to rise up and say, we're proud of our white heritage. I'm a proud white American. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer at newswithyous.tv at newswithyous.com. We'll see you next time. Wow! How many years ago was that? How many years? I'm unbelievable, right? Unbelievable, folks. Huh? That's why I got a triple header going on here. We got a triple header going on in our house, right? July 17th, 2013. Going to Bob Evans' house this weekend. Ohio folks, people up in that edge of Pennsylvania, we're having a rally at Bob Evans' house. I was going to get to the calendar today and just didn't get a chance to get around to it, okay? But go there, go to the calendar. Ohio Salt and Light Brigade huddle at Lisbon this weekend. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great time. Myra, come on in real quick. And Betty Perkins, come on in. Myra.
Good morning, Saints. Coach, thank you for bringing heaven to earth. You're right. We're definitely going to win. God is taking care of us, and we have a bright future. That's the way I see it. But, I mean, I always thought there's already a huddle in heaven. This is a money because it starts in the spiritual and then comes to earth. So,
amen. Hey, yes. a spiritual insurrection against the forces of darkness. Come on in, Betty.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, too. I just want to say that men need to become men of God and not child of Satan. And secondly, News 7 here in Wheeling about 15 years ago was telling the population of the United States that to have as many, many children as you can, because what happens when they're 18? They can vote. Amen. And we're getting at that point now.
Triple header in the Dobbenmeyer house. It's a triple header coming this way. Hey, folks. Hey, I got to do a show on this. Hey, folks, you know something? What if America's pastors got in the pulpits and commanded to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and told people to start having babies again? God help us. We'll see you tomorrow.